Blog Talk Radio.
Trauma Guide for Providers. where I was able to meet Ms. Diaz and to pass along the greeting from Tara Wise, the Executive Director of the National Military Women Veterans Association of America in San Diego, California, where Tara Diaz visited with her and other women veterans there. And it was my assumption that there would be some support for the work that was already being done there, but it seems to be a little fragmented in the what's being communicated as to what was anticipated and what did actually happen there. And I actually learned also in Washington about what activities they were doing for the homeless veterans. Just being aware that I think it was July of last year or so when there was an invitation for Latino women veterans to come to Washington, D.C., and there was support galvanizing them to connect with the recently appointed executive director who is a Latino female. This is not about race at all. This is about distinction and how there needs to be an inclusive effort at the federal level when you are singling out a certain nationalities or ethnicities. It causes divisiveness, particularly when this is not the role that the military plays in our country. It is not a divisive approach when you're dealing with what has to happen amongst the military, amongst the ranks, when you are serving, and certainly that is not the message we want to send as civilians amongst the women veterans population. So we want to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to get Tara Wise quickly on the line here because she was actively involved in that, and she did allow me to take a message back to Ms. Diaz. And I shared with her that this particular day, Gwendolyn Moore, who is a congresswoman, but she's also the Congressional Women's Caucus chairperson. She's out of Wisconsin. And we want to make sure that this dialogue is open, having access to these various communique. I would like for everybody to be on the same page. I think it's important for the president initiatives to be realized in a realistic way by what he believes to be happening amongst us is exactly happening. And those of us who are able to communicate that to the White House, where it's fragmented, that we can let those who need to know what is or isn't happening and what isn't being realized in our communities, therefore affecting those women, what this initiative by President Obama and Dina Shiseki was intended, and that was to in homelessness in 5 years. So, Tara, are you there?
I am, Kathy. Good morning. How are you?
Now, I'd like to get your comments on what I've just said because it is my understanding that, I actually saw the newsletter that actually followed, and, you know, it depicted that San Diego had been identified as an area where that geographically has contained many women veterans, and many of these women veterans were identified as being homeless and in need. Now, it was my understanding from that activity, which I was so delighted that they had used that area, because I know that you have been doing some great work out there and a lot of other people. Now, what I've seen come out of that seems to be not the reality of what is being said and articulated back to the White House in terms of what also the Homeless Women Veterans Trauma Guide and all of that was supposed to address. I'm not sure that's a reality. Would you kind of elaborate on that just a little bit?
Sure, Kathy. You know, first I want to, you know, recognize our fallen heroes today, too, because this is a special day for us. Of course, you know, Lakeitha Palmer, this is her home here in San Diego. And she was one of the very first 9/11 victims on the USS Cole. And I did speak with her mother a couple of days ago. And Teresa is really, you know, these are always difficult times for her. And she plans to start being more involved and attending some of our monthly meetings that we hold at the Balboa Veterans Museum. So we definitely want to recognize all of our fallen heroes today, and especially with our kindest regards to Lakeitha, because she was the face of today's veterans. 23 years old, you know, Lakeitha's story, 23 years old, have a 2-year-old daughter. Her daughter's 10 now. And, you know, just really has this perception that we as women veterans, you know, like we took something from her. And so that's been a challenge for her family to be able to work along with Lakeeba's daughter. So, you know, of course, we always need to keep them in our prayers. When you talked about the visit from the Department of Labor, Women's Bureau Director Sarah Diaz, they hosted the first Women Veterans Stand Down held in the state of California, which is monumental, which is huge for us as a women veterans service organization. And, you know, there's some disconnect. We have a lot of disconnect, and a lot of issues are not really fully being addressed. There is divide. It seems as though when it comes down to who should advocate for women veterans or who should advocate from a cultural perspective, I feel just like you do. You know, we all serve. It doesn't matter what your race or ethnicity or what your age difference is. You know, we all served, and women veterans matter. You know, my focus is that all VA hospitals should have women veterans health care. Our health care should be able to be addressed in those facilities. We should be able to see ourselves throughout those facilities as disabled service connected women veterans working in the various areas just as our male counterparts. So, you know, that's our focus, and that's why we push for H.R. 809, the Bill of Rights, on behalf of women veterans, because once Congress acknowledges that, that's going to be able to help us to continue all of our efforts as far as jobs, businesses, small businesses with VYs, also as far as you know, making sure that we have our health care at all VA medical centers, thus going, getting it outsourced and having to pay co-pays and things like that when different people don't receive the same type of service-connected disability. So, you know, that's our main focus. You know, that'll be our focus this year. That'll be our focus next year. The homeless piece that Sarah Diaz, the director for the Department of Labor, addressed at the stand-down, you know, it was supposed to be quite clear that they would assist in any efforts. When I reached out to the Department of Labor again after this event, it seems as though people are taking our information or using our voice to catapult themselves into various positions. But yet and still, we still have women veterans out here living on the streets. I refer a lot of women veterans into the different types of referrals and resources that's available. Sometimes even on a national level, I get calls from people, you know, women veterans all over this country about being challenged with their Department of Veterans Affairs, you know, being challenged as far as going to other veteran service organizations who have received massive funding. You know, we as an organization, we're new. We started in April of this year. And we don't have any funding. We haven't received any grants. We haven't received any donations. And we're still pretty much in our baby stages. But, you know, I'll give you one example. Marilyn Harris out of Texas. Marilyn has done tremendous work with the Women's Business Center there. She has spent a lot of money out of her own personal pocket to take women veterans, homeless women veterans that have been looking for businesses, to these various conferences with no return. She has reached out to the Department of Labor. They refer us to FedBiz, is where you would submit applications to get various type of approval for funding. But if you're 501c3 or if you're nonprofit, they can't give you funding. So you have to pretty much get in line with everyone else. And I feel that's a challenge due to the fact that people haven't addressed the issues of women veterans to the level that we currently are in existence in our military. I mean, Kathy, in the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to have so many women veterans returning from the war. It's frightening for me, for where I sit, because I know of the healthcare challenges. You know, I'm a 90% service-connected veteran. I have various medical issues. I need certain types of medication every month in order to live. And I'm in my 30s. So, you know, there's women that are going to be coming back in their 20s who need the same thing. So these are the challenges. And, yeah, I will say, you know, for the record, that with the service provider, give another example for the service provider trauma guide, you know, my question for the Department of Labor and Sarah Diaz is, how do you plan to ensure that all service providers are able to share this information with women veterans? How are they going to know if you guys are not out here having, you know, organizations like myself or organizations such as yours to, you know, push this trauma guide so that they can become aware of what the challenges are for women veterans on a national level? And so just to launch a guide and not follow up, how is it getting to the providers? You know, how is that information being put out there? Are they doing public service announcements? Because I haven't seen any. You know, are they holding conferences? I haven't seen any.
I will tell you, I want you to make some further comments, but before I, while I'm able to kind of get in there, the Region 3, if you were to contact your local regional administrators from the Department of Labor, you would probably find that they are involved in some way in getting this information out. The Region 3 administrator had asked me in Washington when I saw her on that day that she wanted the opportunity to be able to do that from the Women's Bureau, but suggest to me that the Women's Bureau have already determined, because a lot of times those funding for outreach has already been allocated. I will tell you, Tara, that everything that concerning veterans or whether it's for funding, that's very, very scrutinized. And when I was there, of course, my work, I will give information to those people who need it, despite the fact they're funded or not, because I believe that they need it to help the cause. But I was asked by the Regional 3 Administrator to hold off, which now that's been a couple of months, and I've not heard from her. Now, as a matter of fact, she's been avoiding my phone calls, and that's usually because they have an agenda aside from what the original intent was, which was to get the information out. Now, the Provider Homeless Women Veterans Trauma Guide is for providers, and that would be anybody who provides a service, okay? But I think it's also good for veterans, women veterans, those who are receiving the service, too, to get an understanding as what they have decided for us. Because this guide was put together as a result of the Homeless Women Veterans Listening Sessions that were held back in the fall of 2009, which I have facilitated for Original 3. And again, like you said, they take your information and your presence and participation to catapult their own agendas. So we have to keep the dialogue open as veterans so as not to become the commodities of the past, but to recreate ourselves as empowered, educated women veterans who have taken control over the situation concerning us, because I refuse to continue to be the recipient of the various programs, whether it's research or any type of funded program, where I am the subject and not the one that is empowered to make the decision concerning myself, whether it's my health care or my quality of life. And that's what happens, I think, that we are not realizing our role and value in the participation in that. Because you have said that, you have demonstrated that you are empowered. You recognize that you are aligning yourself with these people, but at the end of the day, where is that promise? There is a fragmentation in the communication and dialogue, and ultimately that process, because what the plan is, once President Obama is taking on an initiative, as with General Shinseki, to end homelessness in 5 years, and there again, the numbers that you are still quoting as being homeless in your area, San Diego, where they use San Diego, because geographically that contains so many of these women who are homeless, that's a misrepresentation of the facts. So we have to make sure that we keep these lines of communication open, and I will certainly be writing a letter to the Inspector General's office concerning Sarah Diaz and the misrepresentation that she has as an employee of the federal government, the Office of Federal Contract and Compliance is looking for this type of information. The Inspector General's Office, the Veterans Affairs Office of the Inspector General, and these various government Office of Accountability, these offices are in place to ensure that the funding and the various programs are reaching into the areas where it has been intended. And I see, Tara, that this is a classic case because it has been so publicized. I mean, they actually had your work on their website. And my final comment before I let you back in is
they
that
did.
Lisa has become
yes,
the postman
for
a
they had my picture available in their newsletter.
I have to finish my point because I'm gonna let you capitalize it all at the end. Lisa has become the poster girl for homelessness who I met in Washington, D.C. She was waiting. We had to wait for her. She was late. And when I met her, I asked her, what had they done for her? Because I could see that she had not been well-groomed and preparing for that visit to this program that morning. She said they had done nothing for her. And she was on her way to Florida because she was still homeless. She had no money. So they used her for this particular poster, and they were saying, get in the picture. She's been all over the website, all over the internet, and they have done nothing for this African-American female that they use the poster girl for homelessness. So I'm going to let you complete your thought and finalize this program because we have just a couple of minutes left. I see we have another call on the line, and maybe we can get her in for a minute or two. But we really need to get this documented because then I will send this information to the White House and post it on their website because they need to hear what's going on. So, Tara, please.
Well, you know, Kathy, and I'm going to be very brief. Women veterans matter, and that is my focus. And we are not a group of women that are going to sit back and allow this type of behavior. That's number one. I think that they have underestimated us as women veterans. We will not sit back and allow them to exploit us because it's exploitation. They are using our voice to capitalize, benefit, and it goes on all the time. It's going on all over the state of California. You have people trying to discredit us and defame us before we can even get off the ground. But I will be clear. We will not rest. All VAs will have women's health care. They will address our issues individually as far as businesses. They will address those issues. The VWISE conference, they will host those conferences, and women veterans will not pay to get into those conferences. If they are for us and the federal government has gave you funding, why do women veterans have to pay to go to these events, to be able to be business owners, to get the training and certifications that they've earned the right to be able to pursue? So that's my final thought.
Okay, well, I want to get this caller on the line now and see if there's any comments. She's been listening. Caller, you're on. One second here. Caller, you're on the line. I'd like to bring you into our program here, our discussion on women veterans. I'm not sure who you are, but would you like to identify yourself? Are you there? We had yet another caller. Let me see what the caller, this other caller.
Yes,
I have several
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, my name is Staff Sergeant Kendra Gillis, and I'm still currently active duty, and I should be retiring here shortly. But currently being on active duty, what is it that as active duty, an active duty female I can do, as well as others who may want to support the cause can do, to promote this for us who are going to be coming out and become veterans here shortly?
Well, I would like to have your information. If you could call me back after the program or email me, I'd like to have your information, and that way you can assume your role. I don't know what area of the country you're located, but we need to raise the awareness in our specific areas geographically in those communities where they're not aware of the various programs and what is being entitled to them, the various benefits. We are at a point now where we are galvanizing ourselves as women veterans, empowering ourselves, educating ourselves on not becoming the type of commodity that's in place by many of those who are seeking program funding for housing us and the various other opportunities they believe that we need. The one thing that I do know is when these programs do come into play, they disconnect, they put the veteran, the woman veteran, at a disadvantage by not allowing that veteran in on what it is that they're doing. There's a lot of blind studies, a lot of research, a lot of very complex activities going on with the veteran not being aware exactly what their role is in some of this. So a lot of these funding opportunities is key, but there's a certain level of maturity in how you have to be prepared to deal with it. So we need to talk. I would love to have your involvement. I think that I would like to begin to address the younger veteran, the population of veterans who may be returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, who may not know how to navigate this system, to kind of be a help to them. I don't want them to experience many of the complexities of me coming out of Desert Storm veteran, and I know Tara, I think Desert Storm, she's in San Diego. Homelessness, a lot of many unfortunate situations has been the result of a lot of misinformed or uninformed women veterans, and we want to help become the nexus between those services that do exist and help to serve the women veterans who are being in these many unfortunate situations today. And I think that with your compassion and what I'm hearing in you is that whatever you are able to do in that as such an endeavor, we welcome you. We have a national network. We're on Facebook. Well, in mostly every social network and medium, we do this radio program weekly. We have newsletters. I'm traveling to Washington, D.C. on a regular basis and communicating back to the community what needs to happen, trying to get funding into those grassroots organizations that are doing work passionately and working very hard to in the community. So we're just trying to connect the dots and making sure that all needs are met in our community. So if I can have you call me back, I'm going to announce my phone number, and if you could call me back, I would appreciate it. I would not ask you to give your number on the phone, even though I could see it. Even though I could see it on my board.
Okay.
Please.
Sure. Take your number.
Yes, ma'am. I can actually see your number on my screen, and I could call you back if you would permit. But I would not say it over the line. And,
fine.
I'm grateful to you because this, the TAPS program was a transition assistance program for service people. I'm not sure if it's as effective as it should be. The out processing is not empowering the veterans, allowing them the information that they need to connect with the resources. So when they go into their residences or when they're transitioning to their wherever they go into the country, they're not being empowered. They're being left kind of disconnected and alienated from the services and help that they need. And we really need to make sure that everybody who is able to do something is doing our part across the country to connect the dots and to make sure that every unmet need is satisfied in our population.
Well, I must agree with you. I'm currently actually deployed. I'm just home for 2 weeks right now, and I must say that it is well needed, and it does need to be promoted for those because a lot of our people come back, and we have some females in our unit right now that are suffering, and they're about to get out, and this assistance would be greatly appreciated for them.
Well, I'm going to call you after the program is over, which is about another 5 seconds or so, and I'm going to connect with you. And
Kathy, I just wanted to add one thing to her that she's actively doing that's really important. We have a lot of women veterans that are coming out right now, and they are automatically homeless, and that is a major urgency for us as veteran service organizations. You know, it's such a huge disconnect. We have women that's coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, getting out of the military because they don't want to do it anymore, and they are homeless within 6 months.
Yeah, that's something that I'm hearing about. I'm not homeless, but we have had some issues. We've heard of issues of the sort from veterans that have gotten out and nothing has been done. And I'm up here in Fort Knox. So it's a real thing. And a lot of us as women, we aren't getting anything. So anything that I can do, because I want to ensure that by the time I get out, if ever I'm in that situation, I'm able to also have that assistance available to me. So I want to be able to do my part.
Well, I am grateful that you have called in. I want to give you my website, and because we have a few minutes left, but I want to leave this dialogue open right here for our next discussion. Tara, if you could join us on next week's program. We need to keep the dialogue open. We need to keep these things hot on the burner, because I think it's important enough that if the Department of Labor has utilized taxpayer dollars to visit San Diego to bring the attention that it has brought to San Diego, that there should be the realistic manifestation of what that tax dollar has done in the state of California. You understand what I'm saying? And it's from
they have an obligation to connect with the governor.
It is from this broadcast to the White House that I will be sending this tape so that they can hear from the very person that they connected, because I'm going to tell you, this Diane told me that you were the greatest. So apparently whatever you are was able to share with her whatever influence or whatever you demonstrated to her, it was enough that she used your work on the website for the Department of Labor. This is all government-spent dollars. So we are not going to manipulate our government and disrespect the President of the United States or General Shinseki, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, to the extent that they would utilize the work, but never. My question is, was there ever any attempt? What was the expectation coming to San Diego? Well, we're going to find out and make sure that those questions are answered, and I'm going to send this tape, a recording, to the White House to make sure that it is heard by those from the Government Affairs Accountability Office, General Shinseki's office, and every other office related to this, because Ms. Wise, of all the people that I know in this country that is working diligently, and of all the advocates in this country, you are the one person that I know who has the true compassion and have put forth 130% and more of your time and resources into helping the veterans community. And so we're going to make sure that the whole thing is fulfilled. And I'm going to follow up, and hopefully that we can get the same callers in on next week and maybe expand on this dialogue, but certainly to get it documented, because this will definitely be heard in the White House. It will definitely be heard in the platforms that I have created and the relationships that I've created at the level of the White House with my recent visit there. And I do know that there is a concern as to where those taxpayer dollars are going and what the intent for the various programs to eliminate homelessness. Why is it being realized that we're still hearing from veterans, women veterans who are not yet housed? They're still on the streets, sleeping on crates, and that's an unrealistic manifestation. For the count of taxpayer dollars that have been put out, $134 billion has been appropriated for the veterans community, and I believe that that should be sufficient for keeping women veterans off the street. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree 100%, and it's more than just having a stand down. And if you can get 100 veterans or 1,000 veterans at a veteran stand down, you certainly should capitalize off of that and ensure that they are not on the street. To have a stand down and be able to round up that many veterans and then to just let those people disperse back out into the communities is a disgrace.
Well, you know, Tara, you know, you're talking to the choir with me. You have my full support. We are really moving forward in Philadelphia area. We have really made a lot of headway in Pennsylvania. I'll be going to several scheduled events where the women veterans have been being the topic of many discussions throughout the state that I've been asked to attend. Beginning on Sunday, I will be doing a 911 ceremony or service in remembrance of 911 at my church, and that's a great start. That your local work speaks for itself, and I tell you, that's what the President's community leadership briefings were about at the White House in the last couple of weeks. And we want to continue to communicate back to him, back to his staff, back to those people that he has entrusted with the funding, the allocation of the dollars, where it's going, what it's doing, and serving the people of this country. And we're going to continue to follow up and make sure that that information is heard back and reverberated back to that office in a realistic way. And we are grateful to you for what you're doing. I just want to announce the website because we will be going off in about another couple of seconds. www.nawbfilly.com. And on joining this website, you can also share your information, Tara. Please be reminded that you can always put your information up there for people to see. We are growing until you are able to broaden your platform to the extent where your website can articulate much of what you're doing, but this website will can serve as a resource for you as well. And we want you to utilize it. It's something that we have been locally able to garner much support in identifying locally what the work is being done here. And the extension of the White House briefings in the 2011 Women Veterans Training Summit, this is real for us. And when we can get women veterans at the table where we are being discussed and not those who are deciding what's going to happen to us, then we can have a voice there. So I continue to push in at those tables, create platforms, you know, with our mayor of last year's roundtable. We're going to have phase two of our roundtable October the 13th, where we're going to be following up on this discussion. But I tell you, we have to be at the table. And I'm going to continue for as long as I am able to continue to bridge this gap between the various organizations and dismiss this whole issue on what ethnicity needs to be serviced, because all are women veterans. And when we're in the foxhole, there ain't no nationality, there ain't no ethnicity issues there. So we're going to make that a reality to our civilian counterparts who believe that they are helping us, but they have to help us in a way where they understand that we must be at the table. You know, and we're able to articulate from our position what needs to be done to help us overcome, because we are more than the commodity of which they're trying to make us, but we are also articulate, empowered, and educated in a way where we can help ourselves. So, you know, would you have any final comments, Tara, before we end our broadcast?
Yes, one last thing I'd just like to add is that Marilyn Harris out of Houston, Texas, she's just recently traveled to the Women's Summit down in, I think it was held in New Orleans, and from my understanding, it was over 3,000 people there. And they did provide a lot of the various people who authorized the government contracts for women veteran businesses on a national level. Women veterans have been trying to open up businesses and work with the SBA and receive various types of funding as far as the Patriot Loan and things of that was supposed to be able to help veterans overall get businesses off the ground. But when you look at on a national level, when the cities in major cities across the country are receiving funding from their state, from the government, they do not give contracts to women veteran business owners. You know, the military community here, $38 billion into San Diego County alone. Thus, the city of San Diego could not account for 10,000 that they supported a women veteran business. Those are the issues that I stay focused and I address, and that's on a national level. Women veterans matter.
Well, I'm going to follow up with that. I'm going to find out what's going on in San Diego, and I think this should be a part of our discussion when dealing with the homelessness issue, because it was my contention that the homelessness issue overshadowed when it first began the topic of a lot of this discussion. A couple of years ago, everybody was not necessarily homeless, and everybody doesn't necessarily fit into that category of homelessness, but some of us desire to become successful business owners and so forth, and I think B-Wise has been at least the pilot portion of the first several sessions that's been held. I'll be participating in the Baltimore session upcoming in 2 weeks, and I think that I'll be able to follow up too, because the whole thing that I'm doing is creating a roadmap that I can demonstrate to other women veterans is that if it works for me, it'll work for you, and I'm going to be able to share with this community on what has actually happened for me to gain information and resources and what needs to take place. The $75 may be to offset administrative costs, I'm not sure, but the $75 it's for, but it was minimal for me at the benefit of what I expect to get out of this, with what I've learned from the White House. So the $75 was just a small piece. I think that if you could secure funding or get a grant that could satisfy that $75 for anybody who participates, the whole thing is being wise, you think about the level of maturity for the business owner that if $75 is a problem, then maybe that BeWise program is not necessarily for them. And I'm not saying that that I'm with any kind of discrimination or anything, but I just think that we have to be grateful for what attention that we are getting, and I don't want to thank everything that comes up in our favor. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to see everything as a disadvantage if there's something attached to it where we may have to somehow give a little bit. Because the overall approach to it, it was position us. For those who participate, it is my expectation that participating in Very Wise, even though I am very knowledgeable about much of what I'm going through, but my expectation is that it will position us being a federal mandate and an initiative that stems from the White House, that it will position us for every opportunity being part of this pilot program that we will allow for us to demonstrate the need for it in every state in the country and every city, wherever it is possible that we can have the BeWise program. So the $75 was just a small investment that I thought I could make just to demonstrate its success. Once I've completed, I'll be able to articulate it back to the community. So, you know, I think that if that's a local issue for you, that you may seek, try to find out if somebody would be willing to offer a grant, if you could get 10 women veterans who are willing to participate, see if you can get somebody to donate $750 to pay that $75 for each one, which should not be a difficult task. So we're going to try to work on, if you have a group of people that are willing to participate, we can get the dollars probably for the grant to be either waived or whatever. So we're not going to try to get make that a really big issue, but I'd like to see more the BeWise program offered again if it's been in your area. I think it was in Sacramento or somewhere. But if wherever it is in your state, let's focus on getting more people involved, and we'll worry about that $75 later on, because at the end of the day, the benefit is that business woman veteran business owner will gain a position where she can access SBA dollars or other programming dollars that she can get operating and certain expenses that can offset what she would otherwise not have to start up a business. So that's why I'm encouraging you to address the local issues so we can get an idea of where these things. So when I go to the conference in Baltimore, I'll be able to talk to the coordinators there. I met them in Washington, D.C., so I have a kind of a relationship with some of the ones who are spearheading behind the scenes, and I want to be able to tell them what I'm hearing about the BeWise program. If the grant part is an issue, the $75 is an issue, maybe we can get a grant for that. And if it's some areas geographically where the program needs to be held for the women veterans who are expressing the desire to do business, why can't we get a program there? So I'm going to become a voice for some of the activities that is or is not happening, you know, on the issue of BeWise. That's another thing. But your local support should be beginning to open up their ears for discussion and a very platform for discussion on women veterans in business. Believe it or not, the Women's Bureau, your regional director, your regional administrator should be prepared to give you some answers on where some of those dollars could be. Just recently there was a grant that was closed on the 2nd. You have to frequently visit the Department of Labor website